Yeah, you're saying that the definition seems to point, Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service, Uttam Bhakti, seems to point to Krishna. Krishna, because it says Krishna Anushilanam. It doesn't say Guru Anushilanam. But what we have to look here is that there are really two sides of one coin. The coin has heads and tails, two sides, but the coin is one rupee coin. So one side of the coin is Guru and the other side is Krishna. And because the coin is pure devotion, the coin is Uttam Bhakti. This is the coin. Because the Guru is engaging the disciple in the service of Krishna. So the term Guru Bhakti, how the relationship between the term Guru Bhakti and Krishna Uttam Bhakti, or Uttam Bhakti for Krishna, they're basically synonymous. Because the Guru is giving instruction or guidance to the disciple to engage in the service of Krishna. I want you to be the pujari. I want you to worship the deity. So, in carrying out the service to the Guru, the service of the Guru, which means carrying out his order, and pleasing the Guru, and acting in a favorable way towards the Guru, means to do Uttama Bhakti to Krishna. You see, you can't really separate the two. They're not categorically different. They're basically the same. Because if you say, "Oh, my guru gave me this order to worship the deities," so I have to do it very nicely and very attentively, with lots of feeling and carefully and lots of tender loving care and find out the right details and find out the right system how to do puja, because I want to please my guru by doing it right. But by doing it right and by doing all the proper mood and technique, automatically that's Uttam Bhakti, or at least striving towards that Uttam Bhakti. And it's Guru Bhakti. It's all in one. It's inclusive. One term includes the other. So the more attentive you are, the more sincere you are and attentive you are to carry out the order of Guru and to please the Guru, because that order is, he gives you the order to worship Krishna. So if you're attentive and careful to carry out the order to worship Krishna, then obviously you're very careful and attentive and feelingly carrying out the order of Guru. I mean, carry out the service of Krishna means you're fulfilling the order of the Guru and showing your devotion to the Guru and showing your attachment to the Guru and showing your purity of purpose and you're showing your favorable attitude towards the Guru and you're showing your favorable feeling. So that's what bhakti is all about. So I don't know, I can't see in my mind that they're two different categories.
Yeah, I just know, I heard so many times that
in other words, if you say, "Oh, he has a lot of Guru Bhakti," that means he also has a lot of Krishna Bhakti. So his Guru Bhakti is very good. He has a lot of Guru Nishtha. They say that also. He has a lot of Guru Nishtha. Nishtha means faith. He has strong faith in his Guru, and the proof of that faith is that he steadily serves every order of the Guru and with great enthusiasm and great attention and in a very favorable way. So that same thing, you can substitute the word Krishna. He has Krishna Nishtha, or Krishna Bhakti, or very faithfully serving Krishna, or very enthusiastically serving Krishna. I think they're synonymous.
Yeah. I hope for someone who has Bhakti.
In other words, if you don't have Guru Bhakti, then you can't. You can't have Krishna Bhakti. Oh, he has a lot of joy. You're not reading it right, because I know what you're about to say. If someone says, "Oh, he has a lot of he has a lot of Krishna Bhakti, but he doesn't have much Guru Bhakti." It can't be. It's like, "Oh, he has one side of a coin, but he doesn't have the other side." That's why I say you can't separate two sides of a coin. Such an entity can't exist. You can't have he has a lot of Guru Bhakti, but not much Krishna Bhakti. Oh, he has a lot of Krishna Bhakti, but not much Guru Bhakti. Because they're inseparable.
Yeah, this is, I can understand, but I heard the bhakti for the sake of bhakti only. Right?
Yeah, well, bhakti is causeless, and bhakti creates bhakti, and bhakti leads to bhakti, and bhakti is eternal. You don't do bhakti to get something else. You do yoga sadhana to get siddhi. You do jnana to get Brahman knowledge or whatever. And once you get it, then you stop doing the yoga asanas because you have the siddhi. But bhakti, you do bhakti, then you do more bhakti.
Yeah, but is it alright that it looks like I want to use spiritual master to, you know, to get perfection of, you know, to serve more?
To take that from the guru, you have to approach. You want to take bhakti or take lessons from the guru, then you have to approach him, and you have to surrender to him. You have to serve him, and that itself is bhakti, because guru is the embodiment of bhakti. So approaching guru means approaching bhakti, and surrendering to guru means surrendering to bhakti, because he's bhakti devi. He's the amsha. He's the amsha of. He's supposed to carry that bhakti. He gives the guru. Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai, Bhakti Lata Beach. He's giving that Bhakti Lata. He's carrying it and he's distributing it. So if you serve him, you're serving Bhakti. You're serving the cause of Bhakti. You're Bhakti for Bhakti's sake. Just like they say, at the beginning of Bhakti is Shraddha, is faith. Ado Shraddha Tatao Sarasanga. So that's true, but actually that Shraddha leads to Sadhusanga, and Sadhusanga leads to Nartanivritti. But actually Bhakti is the cause of everything. It's like you say, sometimes they say, Bhakti comes from the sadhus, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. But actually Bhakti comes from Bhakti. Because the sadhus, they have Bhakti. And because of the bhakti in their heart, they get inspired. They get inspired to train someone or teach someone. So the bhakti, it's not the sadhu that's creating bhakti, it's the bhakti in the heart. Bhakti in the heart of the sadhu that's inspiring them. Because bhakti, we say bhakti is independent. Bhakti is free to move or go wherever she wants. So the madhyam, the preacher, who is, whether he's a madhyam, Kanishtha coming up, or Nuttam coming down, the preacher is selective. Bhakti is independent. In other words, he says, this is a nice boy or this is a nice lady. I feel like giving my mercy to them. So the mercy of the guru means to give bhakti. So, but that desire, that feeling in him that, I want to help this person or I want to show my mercy, that feeling is created by the bhakti in his own heart. The bhakti in the heart of the guru, because he looks at somebody else, I don't like. So bhakti is not dictating him, show mercy to him or to her. Because the madhyam makes a selection. He's a demon. He's innocent. He's my friend. And this is my lord, my ishta. He makes four distinctions. Otherwise, everyone would get bhakti. But bhakti is independent. She'll go wherever. So she's in the heart, and she somehow inspires the guru to, yes, give to this person. How? That's not said. So that's what Vishnu Chakravarti argues this point, that actually bhakti is the source of bhakti. There's no other source. That's why I say it's causes. You can't make, it's no cause for bhakti. Bhakti is causeless. It's independent. If something is independent, it means there's no cause. It moves or acts whatever, however it wants to go. You can't make it happen. So bhakti is independent. So sometimes she moves the guru. Oh yes, five people come and see the guru, and then the guru thinks, oh, this boy's nice. Somehow, like, I don't know, this girl's nice, and then he's attracted to help that person or whatever. So bhakti is creating that. So then Vishnu argues that actually bhakti is only bhakti, and only bhakti is the cause of bhakti. And the bhakti, when that bhakti is the Sarup Shakti, the spiritual potency, when the spiritual potency, that wave of knowledge, and that wave of bliss, when it touches the soul, and the soul will never be the same. It's like if you pass electricity through a wire, and then that wire, it's not just a piece of copper. It's not the same anymore, it's electricity. And as long as it's coming through, then it's still electricity. So that's like bhakti, in one sense. When bhakti mixes with the soul, mixes with a jiva, Nityabhata, then he's not the same anymore. He has that attraction to Krishna and never leaves. In most cases, unless there's some severe breach of behavior or severe aparad to a very big devotee. And even then, bhakti doesn't leave, but bhakti becomes hidden, maybe for one life. She goes dormant. Then the next lifetime, he takes birth, and then bhakti, that bhakti samskara is still there, because bhakti will never leave you. Although she may feel offended. It's like someone, you know, your wife, your mother's always cooking, she's always in the house, and she might get offended. She goes in her bedroom, she sits there. She's not cooking anymore, she's not cleaning, and she's not speaking. But she's still there. But she's not participating, she's not active. Where's your mother? Oh, who's cooking? Oh, well, my mother's not. I'm cooking. Where's your mother? Oh, she's in her room. Who's cleaning? I'm cleaning. What's your mother doing? I don't know, she's not, she's there, but she's not taking part. So bhakti may do that for one life. Because such a serious reaction, she may feel so offended by the misbehavior of a devotee. But once bhakti comes, then bhakti stays. That's just because it's so special. She's especially, and that's why he says ahoitaki, ahetu, no cause. She's free and independent.
Buddhist and there's different karmas and karma. And we can see sometimes that one devotee...
We observe this phenomenon, that's correct.
Yeah.
Everywhere, not only in ISKCON, but in any group, any society, somehow the rich people seem to get some favor.
Yeah, it's actually not only rich people, but... You know, smart people also. I mean, the, not intelligent, but you know, smart is another meaning, like one who can, you know, be everywhere, like, you know, in the proper time.
Manager.
Yeah, like this. He can't...
expertise.
Yeah, yeah. Like this, he can't come everywhere. He knows everything, you know, like this. So, again...
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's like the fly is on the throne of the king. The fly sits right on the asana of the king. But that doesn't mean he has any kingly powers, even though he's so intimately associated with the king. He sits on every day the king comes in to sit down in the assembly, and the same fly comes and sits on the back of the asana. He's very intimately associated with the king. But he's not really getting much... when it's all said and done, he doesn't derive much benefit from that association. He just shares the asan. So we have to see how much people, a lot of times these rich people or famous people or whatever, expert devotee types, they're getting some, this is also their karma fall, that they did some good karma to get association with big people or whatever. But we actually have to see how it translates in their own lives in terms of bhakti bhajan. Because I often see these type of rich people, they have a good feeling about the sadhus, and they feel good about the sadhus, and they feel inspired to help them in whatever way they can, although they never really give that much. Like the guy may make 100 crores a year, and then if he gives like a half a crore to the sadhu, the sadhu thinks that's a lot. And then the rich man thinks, well, I made the guy feel good. I helped him out. But it's only 1/200th of his income. I mean, it's nothing, ultimately. But it makes the sadhu feel good, and then he feels good about it. And in this way, he has some good feeling, and he's getting some sukriti from sadhu seva. But actually, in terms of sitting down and doing bhakti bhajan, and many of these kind of people, they never even take initiation. They come around for years and serve the sannyasis or serve the movement, or even if they are initiated, the jack of all trades. If you look at their personal life and their personal bhajan, oftentimes it's very weak. It's because they're very much involved with the material energy, manipulating it and moving through it, and also being affected by it. So they have some. They're friendly and they're cooperative and they're charitable. may be expert. But when it gets down to Trinadapi Sunichena and actually giving up their ego and giving up their profit motive and giving up their ulterior motives to become a transparent Saralata Vaishnava, Saragrahi, accepting the essence of devotion, which is humility and surrender and dependence on God, they're like lifetimes away from that. That's my own experience. So they're good people, and they're non-envious in many cases, but this is Krishna's arrangement, that they rub shoulders all the time with the GVC gurus, and they do lots of favors, and that helps them. They're accumulating some sukriti, so the next life they get serious. They become very serious about bhajan. Whereas some other person, he may not be in the limelight, he may not be tightly associated with the big timers, but he's going back to Godhead because he's absorbed in nam bhajan and smaranam and doing very sincere and dedicated humble service to the spiritual master. It's like the squirrel in Hanuman and Ram Lila. You must have heard. The squirrel did his utmost. He to his fullest potential, he was carrying pebbles and stones to make the bridge to Lanka. And Hanuman was just carrying in one hand, flying through the air. But why didn't he use two hands and carry boulder in each hand? But you see, he's flying like he's got a boulder. He has a big rock in one hand and the other hand's like this. His posture like this. He's like Superman, big boulder. And then but he's some pride attached to his service. So this pride is not appreciated because it doesn't. When there's pride, one doesn't recognize the beloved. One's attention is not fully focused on the beloved when the pride is there. His attention is split between looking at himself and looking at his beloved. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm so expert. I'm quite good. I'm quite strong. I'm really wealthy. I'm giving this money. Because really, everything's being done by Krishna. He's the immediate cause and the efficient cause behind everything. Ultimately, Krishna is the doer, Krishna is the receiver, Krishna is the ability, Krishna is the knowledge, Krishna is the expertise, Krishna is the money, Krishna is he's a big industrious. Well, it's all Krishna. Krishna gave him the coal, Krishna gave him the steel, Krishna gave him the. So whatever products he makes and sells is only Krishna. Krishna making Krishna giving Krishna. So the pride is the enemy of love. Because in love, there's transparency, like a window pane. It's clear. The window is not blocking any of the light image coming in. It's just passing it clearly. Whatever is outside is represented purely through the window. There's no addition. The window is not adding or subtracting anything. It's just, if it's clear, it's just allowing full access and full vision of the outside world or whatever's outside the window. So this pride blocks the window of the soul, so it can't see very clearly Krishna. So these people, I see that these wealthy people or these talented people, they have some pride also. But those humble bhajaneers or humble servants, maybe it looks like they're in the back of the line. It looks like they're not getting much recognition. When it's all said and done, when the guru leaves this world, then that sadshishya leaves the world. He follows the sadguru. And then that disciple's in the front of the line. And he's getting 24-hour recognition. Because he's serving shoulder to shoulder with his guru mandri and his mandri sarup. And he says, oh, what happened to that guy that used to give you $1 million every month and you're always getting Mahaprasad? Oh, he's still in the material world. And then after a few days, you won't remember him anymore because you won't be seeing him in the front of the line and he won't be bringing big donations. And that expert guy in the computers and they go for this and go for that and organize this, he's also still there in the material world. So you have to see things from the long view. Everyone is rewarded. Everyone is rewarded by Krishna and Guru according to the sincerity of their service and surrender. and their love. No one is ignored. No one is forgotten. No one is left out. Oh, this guy, he's getting all the maha. He's getting all the maha for 20 years. But then you'll get all the maha for 20 million years. Because when you go to the spiritual world, every time your guru gets a garland from Rupa Manjari, every time you get some maha garland from Radharani, he gives a maha garland to you every day for eternity. And every time Radharani spits out her paan in Rupa Manjari's hand, then Rupa Manjari gives it to your Guru Manjari. Then your Guru Manjari gives you that paan from Radharani's lips, Radharani Prasadi paan. And so, what better Mahaprasad is there than that? And then you think, oh, and you won't remember anything about that industrialist or that jack of all trades wala. You'll forget about them when you go there. Now you're thinking, oh, he's so lucky, he's so special. But then when you go there, you say, hey, what happened to that lucky guy? He's not so lucky. That's the way I understand it. Stay in the background. Well, the thing is that the holy name, we read in the Mahima, or the glorification of the holy name, the Krishna's once chanting the holy name can vanquish more sins than one is able to commit. And in other words, the holy name has so much unlimited power, Sarvashakti. All Krishna's energy and power, potency is there. So if we're, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is revealing, we're chanting and we're not seeing these phenomenal, we're not perceiving the phenomenal power of the holy name. We're not seeing the amazing, we're not experiencing the amazing transformations and experiences that are written about and told about that are possible from chanting the holy name. So then we have to think, what's wrong with me? Or so this creates a humility, and this creates a sense of repentance and a sense of sorrowful mood, because all these things are told about the holy name, all these benefits and powers, and why aren't they happening to me? We should have some expectancy. Gee, I want these things to happen to me. That's what Lord Chaitanya is praying in Shikshastakam. He's actually crying out. He said, when will tears of love flow from my eyes? When will my hair stand on end? Nayanam galada shindariya varanam galada uriyagira pulukar nishitama vukada tama grahane vavishin tama nama grahane tama tava nama grahane vavishini. So he's actually saying, when? Oh, Namprabhu, when's this going to happen? I mean, I'm expecting, this is all about expectancy. The sixth prayer of Shikshastakam, Nayanam Galadashu. When will my eyes swell up with tears when I chant? Now I'm chanting and I just fall asleep. And my eyes just swell up with, sleep. My eyelids fall down with a crash and I fall asleep. When will my hair stand on end? So this is he's lamenting and repenting and at the same time expecting and praying that, holy night, please, I want these things. I, in other words, he's saying, I want to advance. I want to become an advanced devotee. I want to be, because when I become an advanced devotee, then I can render service. Because until I come to the level of Bhava Bhakti, what service can I do? Until I have a pure, Krishna's totally pure and has a spiritual body. So how can I serve him in this stool body? I have to have a pure body, so the only way to get pure is chanting Hare Krishna. So this should happen as fast as possible, so I can begin my service, eternal service to Krishna as soon as possible. What am I waiting for? And I'm expecting such wonderful things to happen, and why aren't they happening? It must be my offenses, and it must be my inattention, it must be my disregard. Oh, holy name, please forgive me, I expect all these wonderful things. I expect the tears to come, and I expect my throat to choke up, and my hair to stand on end. But it's not happening. What's wrong with me? Oh, please, holy name, forgive me, and please don't forget me, and please uplift me to these states of happiness and ecstasy so I can become purified and become a suitable instrument to serve you. So I think it's very much, of course we discussed that in Teragadam, maybe Teragadam, about Ashabanda. That's part of course. Ashabandha is mentioned in one of the nine symptoms of bhav. To expect, you know, ashabandha, great hope that some, to hope against hope that I will attain very high state of Krishna consciousness by chanting Nam Bhajan. And I will attain perfection, ultimately, the highest consciousness, perfection, perfect consciousness, where I think nothing but the happiness of Krishna moment to moment, without any pride and without any enjoying spirit. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. When this is a very common theme in all the prayers of the Acharyas, when, kave, 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 kave. When, oh holy name, I'm chanting, and only if I just chant once, then everything, then I'm liberated. And then if I chant twice, if I chant once, then I'm liberated. Then if I chant twice, I attain my spiritual body. And if I chant three times, then I enter the Leela. So it only takes one, two, three. Hare Krishna, spiritual body. And now I'll say, I'm liberated. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Ekadash Bhav. And Hare Krishna, I enter the Leela for my eternal service. So, that's it. One, two, three. Bingo. Success. Perfection. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Simple. Why am I taking so many times? And of course, perfection will not, doesn't mean we leave the chanting of Hare Krishna. That continues. That's eternal. Also, chanting is eternal. We chant now and eternally. It's not that we chant, then get our spiritual body and say, well, that was good, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Mahamantra, goodbye. You can retire now. No, this goes on forever, hearing, chanting, remembering. You can see the gopis are living in the eternal realm and they're always hearing about Krishna and always chanting and remembering Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant the holy name of the Lord. Right? Sada, Sat, Sat Kirtan, eternal Kirtan. Kirtan is going on eternally. We have to catch a wave of that. That Kirtan is going eternally, just like that some stations are broadcasting music 24 hours a day. We have to catch the wave, the radio wave. We have to catch it with our receiver. We have to receive it, catch it. On our, you know, the tuner, we have to tune into it and catch it. So that wave of Nam Sankirtan is always going on in the spiritual world. And we have to catch that wave, we have to receive it, tune into it, and pick it up on our receiver. And what is our receiver? How do we receive that wave of eternal Kirtan, Sat Kirtan, Kirtaniya Sadhari, Sat Kirtan? How do we receive that wave? That eternal wave of Kirtan, Golokera Premadana, Hadinama Sankirtana. Well, I can only receive that wave by the power of attraction. We have to attract that wave to come to us. So what is that gravity? What is that gravity that pulls that Prem Nam from Goloka all the way down to Moscow? What is that Prem? What is that pulling power? What is that attractive power that draws the holy name from the spiritual world all the way down here to this little place over here, wherever we are, chanting Bombay, Delhi? What is that attractive quality? And Lord Chaitanya tells us, Trinadapi, humility. Trinadapi sunichenan. By that humility we attract the all-attractive. That submission, that humility. Humble surrender. Oh, holy name, oh Nam Prabhu, I humbly surrender unto you. Please come down from above and rest in my heart. Govinda Vishram. Oh Govinda, please rest in my heart. Let the wave come here. The waves are starting from way out in the ocean. They're moving. The whole sea is moving, undulating, rising and falling. Then it moves. It comes for miles and finally it rests. The wave rests on the beach. It rests on the shore, right? So this Nam, this Prem Nam, is coming from the lips of the gopis. all the way from Goloka Vrindavan, all the way across the vast ocean of space, as they say, the vast ocean of Paravyom, then across the then the ocean, Karna Samudra. It's called the ocean of cause, causal ocean. And then across that causal ocean, that wave, Premnam Sankirtan, that tidal wave of Prem, it comes across the Karna Samudra and builds up more and more and more. Then it comes crashing down, comes flowing down from Satyalok, and then Tapalok, Janalok, Maharlok, or Maharlok, Janalok, and then Bhuva, Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, and Bhuva, and Bhur, and Bhurloka, Bhumiloka, to Bhumi. And then finally, that wave, it crashes, or it lands, or breaks on the beach of our mind and heart. So this is the idea. We can catch that wave, and then everything will be washed, sarvatma snapanam. Everything will be cleansed, sarva atma snapanam. Our entire being will be cleansed and refreshed. Our mind will be refreshed. Our hearts will be refreshed. Our whole existence will be fresh and clean, washed anew by the wave, that vibration of Premnam. So this, we're hankering for this, we're yearning for this, we're expecting this. Our Chaitanya said there's seven great benefits in the holy name. It's established in the first verse, seven great treasures. Chaito Darvanam Marjanam Bhava Mahada Bhagya Nirvapanam Shriya Kaya Rabichandrika Vichananam Vidivada Jiva. So someone says, do you know that there are seven treasure boxes awaiting you? Oh really? Yes, and you will get them very soon. So that means you'll be receiving them very soon. And then someone walks away. Oh, I'm expecting to get seven treasures. This man told me that I will get seven treasure boxes. And he told me what the seven were. So now I said, well, how do I become qualified to get those seven treasure boxes? Oh, it's simple. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, now I sit here and chat, and I have great expectancy to receive these. Oh, here comes one treasure. Oh, here comes somebody with a box, a golden box. Oh, look, he's walking down the street. Oh, he's coming this way. Oh, he's not. Oh, it's my door. Oh, hello. Yes, are you Krishna Das? Yes. Here's a treasure box for you. Oh, thank you. What is this treasure box? Oh, if you open this treasure box, you'll find that this treasure will totally cleanse your heart. Your heart will become totally cleansed. Your heart and mind will become completely cleansed. All the lust, anger, greed, envy, everything will be washed away, taken out, and you'll get a new heart, a heart transplant, totally sparkling, clean, crystal clear, pure, beautiful, shining heart. Chaito Darpanam. Your chit, your darpan, your heart, your consciousness will become pure. Acha, oh, that sounds nice. Yeah, thank you for this treasure. That's very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Das, we have a treasure box for you. Oh, another treasure. Yes, this is another. You got one before? Yes, I got one treasure box. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, here's one more. And I have two treasure boxes. Bhava Mahadabhag Nirvapanam. And then like this, these are all the seven treasures. Become pure fire, material desire goes out. So I think this is it. Hare Krishna.